Welcome to the Sanctus NYC Message Podcast. We are the young adult community of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us today as we look to God to lead us into the fullness of the life that he has for us.
And so this is the kind of word that if you've been in Sanctus for a couple years, you've heard this theme, but you need to keep hearing the theme because life, the craziness of new seasons, it's like if you've been walking with Jesus for more than like a couple weeks, there's this way that you can feel like, I just completely understood the love of God in a way that like I never understood it before. It's like, I don't even feel like I got it before this moment. And then you like walk a little bit further down the road and you're like, I feel like I just understood the love of God, and before this moment, I didn't get it at all, right? It's like that really is the progression of life with God. It is the basics, but just going deeper and deeper and deeper in what the basics mean to our life, applying them to our lives. And so tonight, I want to just give a short word on faith. Two stories that I think address different situations that we could find ourselves here tonight. One is you have the disciples in a boat, it's a pretty big boat, going across a big lake that Jesus kind of sends them on. They're trying to get to the other side. While they're on the lake, storm comes, waves get higher, higher, the storm gets crazier and crazier. Initially, it's like things are pretty smooth and it's getting a little bit harder, but it's not like crisis mode yet. And then as it builds and builds and builds, they finally get to a moment where they're just like, oh wait, this is actually nuts. Like, we're about to die. And so they run down to Jesus. They grab him. They say, don't you even care? We're down here. We're literally trying to keep this thing floating. You have all of this power. Why are you leading us into this? We're literally about to die. Jesus comes up, screams at the storm. It silences. Everything comes to peace. And what does he say? Based on the response that they had to what they were going through, he said, you of little faith. Another situation, similar story. You have them in a boat again. As they're going across, it's dark, and they see a figure coming towards them, walking on water, think it's a ghost, and then they realize that's Jesus. And so they look, and Peter says, if that's really you, call me out to where you are. And he says, Peter, come. And so Peter walks out of a boat onto literal water, and the liquid is becoming solid under his feet. And he is just trucking and moving, the first non-God human to ever walk on water in human history. And as he's doing it, he sees Jesus, he's moving, things are going great. But then in his peripheral, he sees some waves coming, and they're not just like normal waves. I remember when I was 07, I was a young lad, and my mom, it was like 2 days after Hurricane Katrina, and the storm like traveled up the East Coast to like the Northeast, and so my mom was like, let's go to the beach. And it wasn't raining, it was like off the beach, it was out in the water, but the water was nuts. And so I'm like this little guy, like running out there, trying to dive into the waves. Next thing I know, I'm getting bodied. And I just remember, like, have anybody ever been in like a wave cycle where, especially like in New York, you'll get some of that. But when you're on the West Coast, the waves in the Pacific are crazy. And when you just get caught and you're just getting hit. One time when I was living in LA, I was like, I gotta surf. And so I had, through connections, there was this guy who pastored a church. He had a son around my age. And because the guy wanted to like connect with BT, he was like, my son's going to take you out surfing. And so we go out to Huntington Beach, and it is like Surf City USA. And we get there, and like, I'm like seeing the waves, and I'm like, is this a normal day? He's like, no, bro, we got rippers out here today. And I'm like, and he's like, oh yeah, they're like 8-footers. And I'm like, oh snap. And I'm like, so how are we going to do? Because I thought he was like giving me a lesson. He's like, bro, just get out there, push up two hands, you'll ride it out smooth. Like, and he just like books it out into the water. And so I like grab my surfboard and I kind of just like start going out. Next thing I know, I'm getting bodied. I have the surfboard attached to my ankle. The surfboard goes flying, and it's, like, super heavy. And now I'm, like, in a washing machine in the ocean, and they're just coming and coming and coming. And, like, in those moments, water's, like, going in your face. You feel like you're getting waterboarded. Like, I'm going to die, right? And so waves are, like, no joke. If you are walking on water and you would get afraid of waves, it's probably not because they don't look threatening, right? When you see something, a very real threat coming your way, then what do you begin to do? You start freaking out. You start trying to figure out, how am I going to navigate this? How am I going to get around it? How am I going to make sure I don't get wiped out right now? And so Peter, in that moment, sees them coming, starts freaking out, starts trying to figure out, I have to dodge this. And as that happens, begins to sink. Jesus comes, grabs his hand, pulls him up, and says, "You of little faith." So we see two situations that I think represent two needs that we have in our life. On one hand, you have Peter walking on water, doing a supernatural thing, which, by the way, the Christian life from beginning to end is supernatural. Walking in peace, joy, faith, love, mercy, patience, all of those things in the form that we're ultimately called to in their truest, purest forms are things that naturally we can't produce. It is a supernatural thing to see Christians embodying Christ, right? And so here Peter is walking this supernatural walk, but somehow in the middle of this supernatural walk that he's on, something happens, begins to sink. Jesus grabs him and says, "What is wrong with your faith? You're so weak in faith. Where is your faith?" On the other hand, you have guys in a boat, right? Circumstantially, things around them, they're seeing this threat get bigger and bigger. It's not like they were sinking. It's not like the boat was like collapsing, but it ended up just getting to a point where they saw the trajectory of what was going to be happening, and they said, "We're going to die at this rate. This is looking horrible." And so Jesus comes as they're projecting where this thing is going and says, "You're losing peace. You're despairing of your life. You feel like you're going to die. It's because you're so weak in faith." For all of us here as Christians, if you've put your faith in Jesus, you have been given a salvation where every need, every trouble and concern and battle and issue that you could possibly face in your life has been taken care of, and you have been committed to by the God of the universe to meet every need and to see you through in everything. So what does that practically mean then? God, and I want to give just a couple quick verses. Here, I'll pull these on my phone actually really quick because we didn't get to prepare these. Philippians 4, it says this: "The same God who takes care of me will supply." They have it? "And with all his abundant wealth, through Christ Jesus, my God will supply all your needs." Number one. Second Peter verse, if we could go to that one real quick. "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." And then do the 2 Corinthians 1. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he made himself poor for your sake in order to make you rich by means of his poverty." And so what this is ultimately saying is this: the salvation that you have received, you're not living in all of what it means. You're not even aware of what the implications of this salvation has for all of the issues of your life. But to begin to bring more awareness to it, what it's saying is you have been given the riches of heaven. Everything that you could possibly need to live in God, live a victorious life through him, it's not something that you have to now wait and hope that he ends up bringing to you. It's saying in that verse, it's past tense. It has been given to you. Everything needed to live this life out, it's already done. It's hanging above your head. God is not withholding himself. He's not denying you or rejecting you. He desires to fill you with his riches more than you even want them for yourself. So the question then becomes, why am I not living in it? if Jesus wants me to walk on water, why am I sinking? If Jesus has promised that the boat isn't going to be taken out, why am I freaking out about it? And the answer comes back to the universal battle, the universal thing that ultimately will define all of our lives, the state of our faith. According to your faith, so be it with your life. I've been talking to people lately who come to Sanctus, who go to church on Sundays, who maybe go to Bible studies and have a couple Christian conversations with people. But when you start getting into what does the day-to-day of your life really look like, you begin to see pretty quickly there's a lot of doing, but not a lot of believing and receiving. There's a lot of doing things for God, not a lot of living with God. It is going to be impossible for you to get to where you were created to be in Jesus apart from your faith growing. The thing holding us back from the wholeness, the peace, the victory, the power that Christ came to bring us is our own faith. He's not withholding himself. So it means the reason why I don't have him isn't because he's not giving himself. It's because I'm not taking. And so you and I, the present experience of your life, the extent that you are walking settled by the peace and presence of God, experiencing him daily, is completely in alignment with the state of your faith. The victory that you're walking in, the amount of just your flesh and the old person that you see concerned about everything but God, living for the world, all of these desires, chasing things that you know in the end of the day aren't going to deliver, but you just can't stop walking in it because it's who you are. What's stopping you from living in the spirit or in the flesh? Faith. The anxiety and turmoil that you have over the concerns that you're facing, all of the uncertainties, what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? The bottom line is you're fretting, you're freaking out that the boat is going to sink. And what does Jesus come and say? How could you have such little faith? Jesus says that in a way where it seems accusatory, but you know what's beautiful about that story is he was the one who sent them on the lake knowing what was about to happen. So here he is calling them out and saying, how could you be so weak in faith? He knew they were that weak in faith, but he called them there so that they could see the state of their own faith. And so in my life and in your life, something that's been a theme today, even what JC was saying earlier, is the things that you and I are walking through. Why can James say, consider it an opportunity for amazing, unreal joy, any trial that you end up facing in life? Because it's an opportunity for the substance of your faith to be put in the light and to show what it will produce. If you're facing a trial, but your faith is settled in who God is to that trial, you are like Jesus sleeping in a boat with a storm that's around it. Christ is the model of a life that is settled in faith in the midst of chaos. When you see what you have in Jesus, and not just see it, not just know it, but believe it, that is what produces a life settled, walking in peace, walking in power, walking in victory. And so I just want to make this really simple for us tonight. This is saying that he'll meet every need that you have, that's externally and internally, according to the riches that you've received in Christ Jesus. Another verse is this, that he became poor so that through his poverty you could become rich. Is that riches that he's talking about? Having everybody walking out here Bezos? No. We're talking about spiritual riches, which are entirely ours in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual grace that we could possibly need to do this thing, again, we have it. So then how do I begin to walk in it? I have one more verse I want to share really quick. Did you guys get the other one, the Matthew? Yeah, Matthew. Yes. So here we go. In the beginning, and I use this translation because I like how it describes the second part, but the first thing that I want to highlight, this word happy, the Greek word is, let's see if I remember this. It's something like Makaros or something. I really thought I was going to be able to remember that. Remember that one? No. So the word in other translations, this is the first verse in the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon ever preached. Obviously, the more famous way of articulating that Greek word is blessed, right? This translation uses happy. What's interesting about this is that word, Makaros or whatever, is a word that when Jesus said it, stirred and piqued their ears of the people listening. Because that word was a word that was reserved for really, in the Greek understanding, like the gods or the richest people in the Greek culture. What that word blessed or that degree of happiness and fulfillment ultimately meant was here is somebody who circumstantially has all the power that they need and all of the resources that they need to have the best possible life that somebody could have. Nothing was holding them back from being able to completely flourish and prosper in every way. So it is the highest, most privileged, most desirable position that somebody could be. That's what that verse is ultimately saying. So Jesus says that word, which happy is a much shallower understanding of what that word is ultimately pointing to. But Jesus is saying that word, everybody's listening. So who? The gods? The rich? No, he says, are those who know that they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. So what is Jesus saying in this? He is saying that the best possible place that you could be in life, where you are as privileged, you have as much access to real flourishing and thriving as anybody could possibly be, where will you find yourself in that position? When you realize how absolutely spiritually poor and helpless you are. That was a shocking thing for people to hear. Because their understanding of that word was more power, external riches, being able to exert your will on the world around you and get what you want out of it. What this is saying is the place of greatest blessing, the place where somebody should actually be the most envied, is when you're somebody who realizes you are absolutely spiritually destitute and helpless. Not having a confidence in your self-sufficiency, in your ability to author your life, in your ability to be a boss, mama, I don't know, in your ability to be an alpha, in your, blessed are those who have the strongest jawlines, blessed are those who have all of the things that you could think of in this world that you'd be like, oh, that's where life would be really good. If I just had that going for me, the doors that that would open, the power that that would bring me, no. Blessed are those who realize they are helpless. Now, why would he say that? Because the beauty of seeing how absolutely helpless we are is that it is at the end of ourself where we can truly begin to trust in the Lord. It's when we see there's no way that this is going to work except if you're real and you love me that we actually begin to experience his power and grace and transforming presence in our life. Often, God allows these trials, our backs against the wall, discomfort, so that we could get to a place. It's one of the quickest aids in helping us see, I can't get through this on my own. I don't have what it takes to see this through. It's not like I have this going and I'm really good here and here and here, but I just need God's help a little bit in that. No, what this is saying is the blessing, the most envied, beautiful, prosperous place you could be is when you see you have nothing, because when you see you have nothing, you can begin to receive everything he has for you. Real faith is born out of real need. If you don't see your need, then you're not actually able to. You might be able to think, yeah, I need Jesus, but your heart isn't going to actually trust in that. If your heart doesn't believe your helplessness, your heart isn't going to be able to exercise faith in his help and his provision, right? What's interesting about this verse, all of the Beatitudes, when you look at them, it's a model of what the Christian's life should look like in every way. But another thing that's true about the Beatitudes is this. There's only one person who's ever lived them perfectly, and it's Jesus. And part of the reason why we needed Jesus is because we could never do any of the Beatitudes. Those aren't standards for us to try to live our best up to, the Beatitudes. They're actually standards that show us how helpless we actually are. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When I see that, I can see pretty easily how proud and self-sufficient I can be, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. I could see pretty quickly that I am somebody that if you push me hard enough, I'll bite your neck. you look at each of the Beatitudes, you see all of these ways that we fall so short, but then we see Jesus lived perfectly in that. And what is the hope then that we have in this? That Jesus came to make the Beatitudes real in our lives. He came with a heart that perfectly followed the Beatitudes and gave it to us. And so when you see this, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Those who are living in experience of his power and his presence are those who know they need him and are trusting him. But what this is saying is, you and I can't even really know our need and see our need and believe it apart from him helping us, but he's going to help us. You and I, in a new way today, need to say, God, save me from all self-sufficiency. Save me from every perspective, every desire in my heart that keeps me from trusting who you say you are to me. Save me from all self-trust. Save me from all self-reliance, because I am in the way of who you want to come and be in my life. Get me out of the way. So when we get to the end of ourself, when we see how helpless we are, in a new real way, we can begin to trust him. A lot of us are facing situations today where you are discouraged, you are frustrated, you're feeling hopeless, or you're just in recurring cycles of sin. What is the hope in these moments? Because this salvation that we're talking about is so true, it's so beautiful, Jesus is going to save you. Jesus is going to come and help you and deliver you, save you from the cycles that you haven't been able to break out of forever, save you from the despair, the hopelessness. You don't have to fix it yourself. Jesus is going to. How does he do it? Through his grace. How do we receive that grace? Through faith. In every trial that you're facing today, if you're not walking perfectly in the grace of God, it's exposing areas of unbelief in your heart that are keeping you and me stuck. If you're seeing your flesh running the show, that points to you not trusting in what you've been given in Christ. If you're walking in continued failure in the same cycles of sin, who Jesus is to you, you're not believing. You're weak in faith in that area. If you're consumed with anxiety, if you're frustrated and angry, you're living far below the grace that Jesus secured and has already given you. So what is the solution for us? It's faith. Now, what is faith? How do we begin to walk in faith? How do we strengthen the faith that we have? One of the most famous verses in the Bible that describes what faith is this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is never self-generated. It's never aimless. It's never, I'm going through this really hard thing right now, but I just have to believe. In what? Well, just that God's going to help me. Yeah, but if you don't have his word to stand on, your faith doesn't have any, is like on sand instead of the rock, right? His word is the basis for our belief. His word is his hand extended to us, and our faith is receiving the hand that's extended. Every word that he has come to give us is a promise over who he is to us in every need, every concern for our future. And so what is faith ultimately? It's me believing, not just thinking about, believing that who God is to me, what he says he's going to do for me, what he's going to do in my future, that he's good for it, and I can rest in his word. That is ultimately what faith is. I talked to people recently, we were talking about like the presence of God, like how I just feel like I can't feel God. Like I'm trying, I'm praying, I'm like, God, show up, please help me today, help me to feel you today. You know, if God is going to lead you, which he wants to, into an experience of his presence continually, it will only be through strengthening your faith. God isn't going to be able to lead you into an experience of his presence that's far above the faith that you trust him with. What faith, when it comes to experiencing the presence of God, looks like, when you look at these promises, everything needed has been given to you. These riches, your inheritance, it's yours. Then you read other verses where the Holy Spirit is inside of you if you're born again. God is with you. When you say, God, would you be near me today? He is. God, please come close to me today. If you've put your faith in Jesus, nothing separates you from the love of the Father. The Holy Spirit is upon you and within you. He is your helper who leads you into all truth. That's who he's already told you he is to you. So why are you not feeling him? Because in a way, our faith is like a radio station. The presence of God is something that I access through faith. God is with me. He's near me. The radio station, the channel is completely open. But as I, in faith, look at my life, look at my needs, look at my circumstances, and shift towards believing God is who he said he'd be to all of the needs that I have, boom, I'm walking in his presence. It's literally like, here is the radio, and I just tuned it to the right frequency, and now there's music filling my soul. In the same way, that's who God is. He is closer than the mention of his name. He loves you. He didn't die to keep you at a distance. He came to fill you in every way with his love, joy, peace. His presence is your inheritance, but it's only going to be accessed through faith. You can't experience him more than you trust him. So often I talk to people and it's just like, I don't feel God. But then you talk about what they're facing in their day-to-day life. And it's like, yeah, this is horrible. This is going to blow up. I hate my family. I'm a piece of garbage. And my life is just trash. God, why can't I feel you? It's like, do you not see where you're setting your mind? What you're choosing to believe? You're literally saying, God, fill me with your presence, even though I'm going to categorically deny who you are to me. The presence of God dwells in belief in the truth of who he is. That, if there's anything we hear tonight, I think this is something so liberating for a lot of us because it helps us to see. A lot of times we could passively be like, God, where are you? Are you going to come? Are you going to show up today? No, he's with you. Are you going to look to him? The battles you're facing, God, are you going to see me through? He's already promised you he will. Are you going to fix your eyes on Jesus? Are you going to be Peter and begin to look at the waves that are coming? Or are you going to look to the Savior? Did Jesus call you out on the water so you could get taken out by a wave? No, but in the same way, when I wake up in the morning or in a moment where I feel waves crashing in on me, where I'm getting overwhelmed, where things are getting really hard in life, I have an opportunity in that moment to look at the waves and continue to sink or fix my eyes on Jesus and supernaturally walk in perfect peace. Recently, I have had a lot of different kinds of battles in my life. There was a moment last week where I was so discouraged. I was looking at a lot of different things in my life completely without any lens of faith. I was just looking at everything and it was just like, that sucks. My baby, he's a whiner. My wife is amazing. But yeah, my house burned down and I got, you could just start listing. All of us, if we wanted to right now, we could look at all of the things in our life through a completely negative lens. It wouldn't be too hard for us to do that, right? And so in that moment, I just started like setting into it. And it was just like, this is that, that sucks. I hate my life actually. And I just started seeing what was coming out of me, just the flesh. I was giving it a highway to run down. And then I'm starting to be a little snippy, and I'm talking to my son, and I'm like, you little baby. And I just started seeing gross stuff coming out of me. And then Jesus convicted me. He helped me to see, what am I looking at right now? What is faith ultimately? It's believing in who he is to each of the concerns of my life, to each of the needs of my life. I wasn't believing who he was to each of those things. I was looking at it through the most negative, hopeless lens that you could possibly look. And oh, look, I have no peace. I'm miserable. I'm frustrated. Do we not see that often the state of our heart, the state of our peace, it's the fruit of our faith or lack of it? And so do you want to walk in the presence of God? Believe in what he says he will be to every situation, challenge, need that you're facing. Believe in the gospel and what it means for your life every day, and you will be walking with a burden that is easy and light. You will be walking in the rest of God. And if you're not, this is my challenge to you and to me today. You're weak in faith. I'm not saying that to you to dunk on you, but if you're not going to own the weakness of your faith, how are you going to be able to start trusting God to see it strengthened? Are you going to be so proud that you'll be like, No, it's not that I'm weak in faith. I'm just going through this and that. And my family was like this growing up. And you just don't get it. I'm from this place and whatever. Well, okay, give the unbelief in your heart some cover to hide behind. Or you could just own it for what it is. You could come and say, I'm nobody. I'm a little helpless, poor in spirit sinner. There is no hope in me. Whatever you see in me that's good, it's God. Whatever you see in me that's not good, it's me. Thank God that he's saving me from me the more I trust him. But where do I find myself today then with the battles that you're facing? And I want to just give a couple last applications. We're going to close. According to your faith, so be it. So according to your faith, so will be it with the peace in your heart, like I just said. What you are believing about the situations that you're facing and who God is to those things will determine the peace that you walk in. And if you're not walking in peace, don't blame it on anything else. Recognize it's a fight of my faith and I am weak in faith. And if I square it to this is where the battle really is, now I can begin to start fighting instead of blame shifting and sitting in it and maybe not having to die to myself, maybe not having to put my sin and my flesh in the crosshairs. At least I get to be comfortable with that, but I'll just continue to walk in misery and blame my internal chaos on everything else around me but myself. So if you're struggling, you lack the peace of God today, Jesus is wanting to strengthen your faith. But then how about the other areas of walking this supernatural walk in holiness, walking with a transformed life where your life does not look like you, it looks more like Jesus or who you are in Jesus, right? Why are you and I not walking in power every second and every moment? Because we lose sight of who Jesus is to us, what we have in him, who he's promising. Do you realize from beginning to end, why blessed are those who see how poor and absolutely helpless they are spiritually? Because beginning to end, God is not asking for anything from you but your faith. That's all you can give him. You have no strength, no innate, amazing ways of thinking and approaching life. All of it from beginning to end, God is wanting to produce in you. So if you're stuck today, if you're in the same cycles of brokenness, if you're proud, if you're falling into lust, if you can't get rid of certain vices, whatever it is, God is like, yes, that's who you are. You have to see you're helpless, but I came to save you from you. And guess what? You don't have to beg me. You don't have to try to twist my arm. If you've been born again, everything you need to do this is yours. Take your eyes off yourself. See how helpless you are first. Then take your eyes off yourself and then receive what I'm giving you. I'm giving you the grace to do everything moment by moment. We are weak in faith. We lose sight of all of this grace, these riches that we have to cash out every moment. We stay using our own debit card. We're broke. And we leave the other one sitting in the back of the wallet, which has everything. Do you realize you could cash out the grace and riches of God in every area where you see you're stuck in your life? Every area where you see your flesh, every area where it's just the same repetitive cycles, God is asking for nothing other than you trusting what he wants to give you to save you from you. This is something that has to be worked out individually in all of our lives, but you have to see, why am I stuck? Why is this not working? You're weak in faith. I'm weak in faith. And thank God, what he is committed to, the reason why these trials come in life is because he loves us too much to keep us weak in faith. He loves us too much to be able, he loves us too much to leave us as like leaves that just get blown by every breeze that comes. He's come to make us steadfast. He's come to make us live victorious lives. He's come to that we will walk in abundance and the prosperity. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. They are the people who have the greatest access to flourishing, more than any Greek god, more than any rich person, more than you, because you have the salvation that you have trusted and received in Christ Jesus. You are as to be envied as any person who is alive on earth today, because you have access to a grace that is not being withheld, which answers every need of your life. God, help us to not have a low view of what we have in you. Help us to see in every area of need, in every concern and fear that we have for the future, who you are to us, so that we can trust you and walk in this supernatural walking on water kind of life. Last thought, we're going to close. How then do we strengthen our faith? So you're weak in faith in certain areas. I'm weak in faith in certain areas. The thing that is most important in your life and my life is seeing our faith strengthened so that we can live in more of the promised land. How do we do it? And here are just a couple last thoughts with that. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can't trust what God, what you don't know God has promised you. Again, general belief in God, unfortunately, it doesn't really work. Just hoping that God is a good guy and that being the anchor for your faith is not going to see you through the storms of life. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is always a response to what Jesus has promised, who he said he is. So the one who is filled with first knowledge of who he is and what he's promised is able to grow in faith and stand on those words. If you're here, reading the Bible is not just a box that you check just so that you could be blessed by God. Reading the Bible, you are gathering ground for your faith to stand on. You are gathering food to strengthen your faith that you know in the middle of this trial, this battle that I'm facing, this is who God is to it. Okay, I'm going through this right now, and it's exposing this deep issue in my heart. Who is God now to that deep issue of my heart? If I don't know, then I'm stuck. So first, your mind, there has to be a knowledge of who God is to you. The first place, if you want to see faith begin to grow in your life, is your mind has to be filled and occupied with God's word, his specific word to your specific need. But we all know this, having it fill your mind is not enough. It can fill your mind and stay completely in a different continent from your heart. Faith isn't knowing, faith is believing. We believe with our heart. Trust comes from our heart. So how do I go from knowing to trusting and believing? It's not something that is so easily spelled out in the sense that all of us have to figure out for ourselves, not just theoretically, like, so how do I do this? Do I just trust God? Do I just say this? No. You've got to get alone with him. You've got to say, Lord, like, do I really believe this? You have to get real. That's really the first step of getting in your heart. You have to get real. It's not about just like going through the motions and hoping that if you do something, you have to say, what's really happening in my inner person? How am I actually engaging this word that you're saying to me? Do I really believe it's true, or do I believe that the opposite is true and that's really who I am, or that's really what's going to happen in my life? It's okay to look in your heart and see unbelief. It's a gift, actually, because that's when God is able to do the work. So first, it has to go in our mind. Then our heart has to engage it. We have to see, how is our heart actually believing it? We have to get real with this thing that I'm looking at. And then from there, here's the beautiful thing. The Bible says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. If you've been born again, you do have a level of faith. And it's enough to see your faith grow from a seed to the oak tree. The level of faith that you have is enough to come to God and have him begin to start growing you and raising you and building you up to get to a place where you can really trust him wholeheartedly and live in all he has for you. The standard isn't up here and you'd have to keep trying to jump. It's not like a white guy at the NBA combine trying to like hit that like thing and it just keeps missing it. And it's like, oh, I hope my legs are strong enough one of these times. Ah, my brother was able to jump higher than me. He's from Ethiopia. He was able to jump higher than me when he was like 11. Imagine the shame you live with that. Again, it's not us just trying our hardest. It's, the Bible says, faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. So when I'm actually coming with faith and trusting God to his word, he brings my faith to where it needs to be. I don't have to wait passively and hope that someday he's going to change me. I have to just come with what's real in my heart. And even if it's a lot of unbelief, but there's just some faith that's there, he'll take that and watch what he begins to do with it. It's like the Roman centurion who came to Jesus and he said, I believe, help my unbelief. So for all of us today, last thing, last week, again, I'm in a moment sitting in frustration, looking at everything that's wrong in my life. God convicts me, and I know in the moment I'm at this fork in the road, and there's only really one way that I'm going to get this thing back on track. And I did not want to get my heart, I didn't want to trust God in that moment. I would much rather sit in my misery, in all honesty. But the only thing that I could do, and by God's grace, he helped me, was just not look at myself and how I was feeling, but just look and just think for a second, who is Jesus right now to where I am? What are his promises? What has he said about the things that I'm going through? And as I just begin to start sitting with it and letting that thought just marinate in my mind, I begin to just sense this faith stirring in my heart again. It was standing on the word that he has implanted in my mind over these years. And as that began to happen, then it was just like, Lord, it's like he stirred my heart. He warmed my faith. He pulled me out of my misery and frustration. And then came the moment of, Lord, this is who you are. I trust you. Forgive me for looking every direction but you. This is who you are. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that I don't need this because I have you. Thank you that you're my peace. And thanksgiving started coming out of my heart as a example, as tangible faith, because I was accepting and standing on what he's already told me that I have in him. And then it's just like the chains fall off and heaven opens up. That, brothers and sisters, is how we fight. Do you want to grow in faith? First, you have to look to who he says he is. Then you have to get real in your heart. Do I even believe this? Is there unbelief? If there's unbelief, I give it to him. And with the faith that I have, I say, Lord, I trust you. Now help me to trust you more. As we do that, he is the perfecter of our faith. He loves you too much to leave you on life support. He is going to bring you into abundance. Amen? All right. Well, I think we could just close with this today. We don't have to have a song or anything. Let's just close our eyes. I'll be the first one to say that in these months of my life, I've seen areas where I have not really trusted who Jesus has promised he is to me. I've seen weakness in my faith. And because of the truth we're saying today, I recognize way more important than any circumstance around me changing is my faith increasing so that I can walk in the blessing that I was made for in him. I can live in this salvation. And so I want to invite you, even right now, what are things God's bringing to mind? Areas where you know you're not trusting him, where you're sitting in your misery, where you're sitting in hopelessness, where you're sitting in your self-effort and reliance, or you're just sitting in thinking that, yeah, I'm helpless, but Jesus really isn't faithful. Yeah, I get the part, I'm spiritually poor, but he hasn't given me his riches. Maybe you're weak in believing what the gospel means, the love of God over your life. In every area where you are weak in faith, whatever comes most prominently to your mind, we can make an exchange of grace right now with the faith that we have in our heart. We can own our unbelief, and God, we can begin this process of him strengthening us, of his grace filling us. So wherever you are, whatever that thing is in your heart that God is bringing to mind, first, take a moment and just think about who is Jesus to this thing, to this concern that I have. Whatever you know of the word, whatever you know of his character, just fill your mind with that for a moment. Now, as you see these promises, everything that we've said, God is committed to you. He loves you. He wants to meet every need. He will be faithful with every concern of your future. He will give you all strength. He will give you the heart of Christ. Every way that you have been rejecting that truth, I want to give you an opportunity right now to just say, Lord, forgive me that I am not trusting who you say you are to this thing. And then say to the Lord, I want to trust you more. Strengthen my faith. I believe. Now help my unbelief. You are the perfecter of my faith. Strengthen my faith today that I can walk in your grace. Thank you. Lord, starting with me, I so desperately need my faith to be strengthened in the truth of who you are. I don't want to settle living in the brokenness of my flesh. I don't want to settle living in frustration, lack of peace, continual failure and sin. In every way, Lord, I want to walk in everything that you've promised me, you've already given me. I want my faith to be strengthened and rise, to receive you in everything for everything. Lord, I pray right now, starting with myself, but that every person here in this room will see the work that you are doing in each of our faiths. That the biggest battle and the most important thing in our life is not what's happening around us, but what's happening inside of us. I pray, God, that for every person here, Lord, the things that you're highlighting in their heart, the areas where they're not walking in victory, where they are unsettled and they're seeing right now, Lord, it's because they're not trusting in who you are to them. Lord, right now, speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring revelation of the love, the provision, the sufficiency of your perfect grace over our life. Holy Spirit, bring revelation of the gospel to every heart here in this room, Lord. This week, even as we leave here, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word, promises, truths over every concern that we face in our life today. Lord, would you raise us up to be men and women strong in faith? As our faith is strengthened, we have lives filled with your presence, filled with your grace and strength. That is the only hope for our life. That's the only thing that can keep us. Not going to more meetings, not having more people encourage us or counsel us. We need all of that. But the point of all of it is that our faith would be strengthened in you, Lord. If any of us have been passive, going through the motions, being content to not trust you and just live in more of the same, wake us up, Lord, today to see that the moment we trust you, the moment you're knocking at the door of our heart with all of the grace that's needed to live an entirely beautiful, godly salvation life. Lord, let us open that door of our heart today in faith. Let us take the grace that you've promised us. I pray that this would be a week of breakthrough in each person here's life. Whatever the particular battles are, whatever the needs might be, this week, Lord, strengthen our faith so that we could see transformation in our life, Lord. Speak to us louder than we've ever heard you speak to us before. Help us. We know we hear your voice louder, Lord, when we see how much we need you, when we are poor in spirit. So God, even as we start all of these things, let us see the poverty of our spirits, God. Help us to see how absolutely we need you and then to see how absolutely we have you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for how you've strengthened my faith over the years, how you've strengthened so many in the room's faith. And God, we've seen an increase of your glory in our life. Lord, we want more. We want all of your glorious presence, your strength filling us in every way. So Lord, lead us forward, strengthen our faith, and through that, lead us ahead into the maturity that you're leading us into. Speak to each heart here today, Lord. Stir us up and help us to know, God, you are the perfecter of our faith. So we don't have to feel helpless like we're victims of our lack of faith. With the faith that we have, help us to trust you, and we know that you're going to take us to where we need to go. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your word. We believe, help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. To connect with us, visit our ministry page at brooklyntabernacle.org, or you can follow us on our Instagram @sanctusnyc.